Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be mainly cloudy, warmer, high near maybe 84 degrees. Kenosha at this hour with a little thunderstorm activity, 64. It's 70 already in Burlington, Milwaukee 56, 55 at this hour in Racine. Administration for the Racine Unified School Board in a scramble mode to try to figure out a way to keep moving on the new science rooms and classroom remodeling at Horlick High School. This after the bids received were well over the budgeted estimate by over $1 million. This is Chief Operations Officer David Hazen.
We were anticipating, based on the architect's early estimates of $3.3 to $3.8 million project, the bids came in at slightly over $5 million. So we're committed to doing the project. However, we basically didn't want to bring it to you this evening until we've had time to really vet the bids that came in.
He says that told the Board of Education that they're going to recommend a plan of action for the night of next week's study session. Meanwhile, Facilities Director Brian Arnold suggested going out for bids late, and the aggressive schedule they had worked against the district.
One of the general contractors that has done a fair amount of work for the district in the past, Absolute Construction, let us know in April that they were booked up. Although they would normally be interested in bidding our work, they could not. They just could not do it. Unfortunately, a lot of people got out of the trades business when the economy turned sour back in 2007, 2008. So that's one thing that's working against us. The timeline is working against us. It's a very tight timeline.
Arnold saying the contractor and architect will review the plans for possible cost savings. Other projects will be considered to maybe free up funding toward the Horlick Science Rooms. An agenda item to buy the science lab furniture got deferred until next week at the least on the motion of Mike Frontier. There's movement afoot on the 100-year-old Heritage House building in downtown Kenosha, but still no final agreement between the city and Gorman & Company to renovate that facility. In preparation, though, for it happening, cleanup and clear out of materials from inside the former Elks Club has started. Workers in protective body suits and respiratory masks inside, removing debris that maybe included mold and asbestos. The Heritage House fell into disrepair over the years, still targeted as a future 80-bed downtown boutique hotel. Gorman, of course, working with the city of Racine on the Machinery Row project. The issue of backyard chickens has resurfaced in the village of Caledonia, if only briefly, during citizen comments during last night's board meeting. Sheila Provolosky said that she and her husband came back to the community in which he grew up and purchased an 18-acre property on 4 Mile Road in Franksville, sold 17 of them to a nearby farmer. Now they can't have chickens, like when they lived in Omaha, because there's an existing village ordinance that requires at least 2 acres.
We were unaware that we are zoned agriculture, so we needed to have 2 acres. Prior to us moving here to Wisconsin, we lived in Omaha, where we lived in a suburb division that allowed us to have 5 hens in our fenced-in area. We brought those chickens back, and we were not allowed to have them since we sold that extra property.
Trustee Kevin Wongard, who was chairing the meeting, noted the issue has been reviewed extensively, and it was the board's decision to maintain the current ordinance.
We've got some people that are seriously going to take care of what they're doing.
Right.
And then you've got the ones that don't care about anything. And if you go through the village, and you'll see some places that have been in fallen disrepair. And they don't care about doing anything about those. And we don't want, if you want to put in a comparison, I guess that's what you don't want.
While no action was taken, it's likely the Caledonia Board not hearing the last of the argument to change the rule on egg-laying chickens in non-agricultural areas. The relative of a Racine man who was gunned down a week ago has now been arrested in an incident allegedly related to the homicide. 20-year-old David Kennedy charged with felony bail jumping and misdemeanor carrying a concealed weapon and bail jumping. Court documents had police called to 17th Street. Car pulls up to a home. One of the occupants pulled a gun. Men in the vehicle make some statements about the shooting of Harry Kennedy Jr. Police later stopped the vehicle. David Kennedy, inside, reportedly admits the gun found in the car was his. Court documents had Kennedy out on bond at the time on a drug-related charge. Other 2 men in the car, also relatives of the victim. Meanwhile, police continue looking for 25-year-old Dominique Knight, the suspect in Harry Kennedy's murder. In Kenosha, a judge denies a motion to reduce the bond for a high school student accused of stabbing another student to death. The attorney for 17-year-old Timothy Carson argued that as a lifelong resident of Kenosha, Crawford was not a flight risk. But District Attorney Mike Gravely said because the teen faces a significant prison term if convicted, a high bond is warranted. Judge Mary Kay Wagner denied the request to reduce the bond. Crawford charged with second-degree intentional homicide for the stabbing of a classmate in the chest at Bradford High School last month. An active duty and retired law enforcement officers and many who support law enforcement got together at Hanchel Park in Racine yesterday for the annual Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Service. Mayor John Dickert there says we expect a lot from our law enforcement officers.
For those who are unfortunately on these monuments, we can do nothing but pray for their families. For you, we can never say thanks enough, because the reality is we are not in that zone. Many would call it a combat zone. We are not in that combat zone, and you are there every single day of your lives. And you risk yourselves every single day. We cannot thank you enough for that. It's impossible to thank you enough for that.
Ceremony included the reading of the names of the 17 officers from the cities of Racine and Burlington and from Racine County's Sheriff's Office who've died in the line of duty. Last night, the Kenosha City Council unanimously approved a resolution calling for the passage of a state bill that would prevent large retailers from reducing their property assessments based on the value of their building if it were empty. It's called the black box loophole or the dark store loophole. A lot of big retailers have successfully reduced their assessments. It's happened in Racine. It's happened in Kenosha. Opponents say it puts a disproportionate burden on homeowners. Anthony Nuto, vice president of the executive committee of the Wisconsin Realtors Association, said that they've been following this issue for several years. Said retailers like the Menards in Kenosha, for example, they want their property assessed the same as the vacant Walmart store on 52nd Street.
You should just simply look at the box itself. You should look at the structure, not think about any of the contents that are in there. And across Michigan, it started in Michigan, went to Indiana, now it's in Wisconsin. This trend has hit, and some big box stores have successfully reduced their assessments in half.
Resolutions going to the governor and local legislators, along with other lawmakers working on bills trying to end that loophole. Pleasant Prairie's Village Board last night passing a resolution supporting two measures introduced in the legislature. One is the dark store bill. The other is to reverse a situation in court, Walgreens versus City of Madison, both geared at preventing tax avoidance strategies currently being used by big retailers. Meanwhile, the Pleasant Prairie Board also names Assistant Village Administrator Thomas Schursel to be the interim village administrator until the search process is completed to find a replacement for the retiring Mike Polakoff, which is apparently going to take a little longer. A news release indicates that they had some candidates, quality candidates, but, quote, they have not yet met all of the requirements the village set forth for the position, unquote. New Caledonia Village Hall is within a few weeks at this point of being ready for occupancy, which meant last night's Board of Trustees meeting may have been the last in the old, outdated East Side Community Center. Village leadership looking to sell it at some point in the near future, but a group of seniors maintaining they need a place to meet. During citizen comments, one-time board member Larry McKelvey noted that the new building does not have a specific room in which they can meet like every Wednesday at the ECC.
And I understand that the new facility, there's no room for the old folks. Is that correct? And if that's so, I would like to ask the board what they are going to do about that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is I understand when the Eastside Community Center was given to the village of Caledonia or town of Caledonia, there was a stipulation in the agreement that this be a place for the senior citizens to meet.
Administrator Tom Christensen urged the seniors come take a look at the joint park location and they can talk more about it. As for the selling of the Eastside Community Center, it's still going through the committee process, the ultimate decision up to the full village board. And tonight's Racine Common Council meeting at 7 o'clock will include the last State of the City address from Mayor John Dickert before he resigns in the coming weeks to take over the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. The agenda tonight has that speech right after the Pledge of Allegiance. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.